I'm sorry.
Hello, I am Pedro Damasino. It is currently August 9th, 2017, and I'm here in Willowwood, Brookdale, sorry. And I'm here with
Lillian Salomon, who everybody should call me Lee.
Okay, wonderful. So we're going to record this interview, and it'll be uploaded to the National Library of Congress, where it can be listened
goodness.
To
forever. I'm famous.
You're famous. There you go. It's your big break. Okay. So, Lillian, I wanted to ask you to give us a narrative of your life. Like, how, you know, where were you born? What did you do? And, you know, just give us a little story.
I was born in Brooklyn, New York in 1926.
Okay.
And what I did, I had a normal childhood, went to school, and then I was a stenographer as well as working in an office.
What is a stenographer?
It's very passé now. You did shorthand. Everything was in shorthand, and then you describe. You went ahead and typed up what you had said.
Really? So you can pretty much record an interview by writing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, no. In other words, you got dictation.
Yeah.
You did it in shorthand, and then you typed it up like letters and different things like that.
Okay, wonderful. That's so cool.
Right.
So talking about your childhood, what was it like? Like, what was, you know, your average day walking in the streets? What did you see? What did you smell?
It's a long time ago. I don't remember the smells.
Okay.
I always remember going to Coney Island.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was a must. Can we go to Coney Island?
Yeah.
And I had a very normal, I had a bicycle.
Mm-hmm.
I roller skated.
Uh-huh.
I lived on a parkway in Brooklyn, Ocean Parkway, and it went from Prospect Park to Coney Island, and I lived like in between the way.
Okay.
Right.
And what was your neighborhood like? You know, do you remember any people?
I lived in apartment buildings in several different ones in the area.
Okay. And do you have any neighbors that you remember talking to or pretty close to?
I haven't thought about that in a very long time.
Okay.
You know, you better remember one thing. I'm 92 years old.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So, what did you enjoy doing in Coney Island? What was your favorite thing to do?
Well, we went on the rides.
The rides, yeah.
We had pickles and ice cream. No, there was someplace else.
Not together, I hope.
Well, there were times when we went to the beach as I got older.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so you went to school, you went to high school, I imagine.
Yes.
Do you remember anything from high school?
It was usual.
Mm-hmm.
We had good friends when I was even, let's say, 14 and up, and we had a club.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what, we called ourselves the Anjouins, and I have no idea what it means today, and I have nobody to ask, because all my friends are gone.
Really?
That's why I moved here.
Okay, wonderful. And
also, you want me to continue on with my life?
Yes, please do.
Okay. I was married at 18, divorced at 25. It was during the wartime.
Okay.
And I married a boy that our backgrounds were perfect and all. He went to NYU and I worked. And then we moved to Miami, and apparently it was all over. My family lived here. And then I was single for 7 years. I worked in Miami as in a bank, actually a saving and loan association. They don't have many more like that anymore.
Yeah.
And it was a very nice time in my life.
Yeah.
But my father kept saying to me, why don't you meet somebody? I said, you never introduced me to somebody.
Yeah, wow.
And he found somebody. He found Max for me.
Okay.
We went together about a year, and we married. He had two sons from his former marriage. And then we had Barbara when we We moved from Miami to Queens.
Okay. So back to New York.
And Richard, the younger son, used to come while we were eating dinner constantly. Mm-hmm. We'd have to share it.
Yeah.
He liked the way we were living. Mm-hmm. And he came to live with us because he kept running away from home, from
really?
Brooklyn to Queens.
Okay.
And then I had Barbara, my daughter. Mm-hmm. And I was married short of 50 years,
wow.
about 6 months.
Wow. Okay.
My life started here again. I lived in my house for six years. I lived in Tamarack.
Really? Okay. And then after that, you keep living here, and then...
I'm here.
Now you're here?
I'm
okay.
here.
So I want to ask you, you know...
Oh, in other words, when we left Miami, I said to my husband, I'm never going to work again because I don't want to go on the subway.
Really?
I mean, that was a big thing in my life
before. Yeah,
yeah,
I imagine. And I know that it's changed a lot from then to today.
I'm sure.
Pictures. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they have... They're very fast and...
Yeah.
I hope clean.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I never worked again, except I'm backtracking now. My husband was a meat man. Mm-hmm. Eventually, he had his own processing place outside of Kingston, New York. I messed up already. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you backwards
yeah.
instead of forward.
Yeah.
And those were good years.
Uh-huh.
Had plenty of friends,
mm-hmm.
a synagogue life.
Okay.
And it was wonderful.
Wonderful.
But we decided to come here, and it was equally as nice the years that we were here. We belonged to Cole and Me, which was a wonderful thing in our lives.
Mm-hmm. And I've always wanted to ask someone, you know, seeing that South Florida is such a recent creation, you know, you see all these roads that are so perfectly paved, in contrast to somewhere like New York where it doesn't.
Well, let me tell you something.
Uh-huh.
When I came to Florida in 1950,
uh-huh.
it wasn't like that at all. They had cows on University.
Yeah.
Cows in Sunrise.
What was it like, you know, in Miami? How was life like in Miami?
It was like I went to work.
Yeah.
And I came home. It was a very nice life.
Yeah. And
it was Miami was entirely different.
How was it different?
It was different. We knew everybody around.
Really?
It was a much smaller town. Oh yeah.
And was
you
Miami...
knew your customers, and
okay.
they were very generous.
And was Miami Beach?
No, Miami, city of Miami.
Okay.
Before it was Miami-Dade.
Miami-Dade. Okay, wonderful.
In other words, I sat like in a window in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Looking out, and everybody would pass by. People would come in, they talk to you.
Uh-huh.
It was very nice.
And were there a lot of tourists at the time at all?
What?
The tourists? Not
really. It was after the Mariel boat lift that it changed.
Okay. Okay, well.
Right.
And what was it like coming from New York, somewhere so, you know?
Oh, it was marvelous.
Yeah.
When you walked in the street in March. And it was so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And did that not bother you at all? Like, no people around? It being very, you know... I had this problem because I came from... I moved from Paris, France.
Oh, that's a big difference.
Yeah, to here about 2 years ago. And I remember at night I could barely sleep because there was no noise. You know, I used to hear the cars honking and, you know, people screaming in the street.
Well, I lived in New York where... growing up, but the elevator was down a couple of blocks.
Uh-huh.
My uncle was the engineer
uh-huh.
on there, and he used to toot. I knew it was him.
Yeah? And then you'd hear him, wow.
Yeah.
What has been the biggest change you've seen here in Florida, being here all these years?
It's not a small place anymore.
It's not a small place anymore.
Miami was a small town. It was very different.
Yeah. In what way was it different? What did you notice?
I think people were friendlier.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't really know how it is now.
Yeah.
But it was very wholesome.
Okay, wonderful. So I have a few questions here that I'm going to go through and asking you. Could you tell me about someone who had a big influence in your life? Someone that you wouldn't be the same without?
I think my mother.
Mm-hmm. What's something that she said to you that made a lasting impression?
Good waiters get good tips.
Good waiters get good tips. And were you ever a waitress?
No.
Oh.
Think about that.
Oh.
If you wait.
Oh, wait, okay.
You get something good.
Okay.
At the end.
Wow, okay, that's really smart. That's really wonderful. Okay, let's keep going. Could you describe to me one of your happiest memories? One of the moments in your life where, you know, you were the happiest?
When I had my baby.
When you had your baby. And what was that like around the time, like, you know?
It was in 1959.
Mm-hmm. And what were the sensations going through your, what was in your head at the time, you know? Is that your first child? Your first?
Yes, my one and only.
Your one and only.
Right. And big mistake. I should add more. Oh, yeah.
Why?
Because you give too much to somebody. Mm-hmm. Make them the whole world, and it's no good.
And you didn't find that to be fruitful?
At the time, it was fruitful, but as years go on, mm-hmm. I mean, and believe me, she's not that bad.
No, of course.
She's a horsewoman.
Yeah.
Dogs, cats.
Okay, wow.
She has like a little ranch out in Arizona.
Oh, nice. That's very nice. The one part of your last interview that I heard, the microphone was working, was that you said that one of your biggest regrets was marrying.
That was my first mistake.
That was your first mistake?
Yeah.
And the second time, was it also a mistake?
No, not at all. Uh-huh. I had a wonderful husband.
Yeah. And if you could change anything in your past, would it be to not get married the first time?
That's the only thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's keep going on.
If I listened to my mother, I would have been, that's what I'm telling you.
Because if you would have waited a little longer.
Oh, yeah. You should want to buy me a fur coat.
So, what are you proudest of in your life? And anything you've done, anything that you've...
Well, I think having a good disposition.
Uh-huh.
Really.
Yeah. Wonderful. Okay, keep going. Lee, how would you like to be remembered in generations to come? When they say your name, what would you like to come to mind?
That they appreciated me.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Period.
Just appreciation. Let's say that your great-great-grandchildren are listening to this interview in years from now. This will be saved and preserved for a while. What would you tell them? What would be some advice that you'd give them? And
listen.
To listen.
To listen, right.
And what should they be listening to? Because, you know, nowadays, I don't know if you're so in tune to it.
Not the music.
There's so much, you know. Different music, the news outlets, so many different things to listen to. What would you say to listen to?
Just pay attention. Right.
To be in tune with the world. Of course, that's beautiful.
Right.
What was the most beautiful thing you've ever seen?
I'm just trying. South Africa.
South Africa. So you've traveled a bit.
Yes.
Where have you been other than States?
To Europe and England.
Okay.
Right.
And when did you travel?
Panama Canal.
Really?
Yeah.
And where did you travel? When was this?
When was this? I think it was about 1975.
Okay. And what was your most, like, what was the favorite thing you've seen in South Africa?
Oh. Beauty.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You have the Indian Ocean, or the Atlantic, and you have the Indian Ocean, and you could see the difference in the color.
Yeah, I know. I've seen that place where the oceans meet.
I was very impressed with that.
Really?
And we stayed with my husband's cousins,
mm-hmm.
who he hadn't seen in 35 years, and he came to the United States, and they cried. I mean, it was so
really?
Tender, and wonderful, wonderful people.
Uh-huh.
Had the best time ever.
Wonderful. And from then to now, let's say, even from your childhood, what has been some changes that you've seen in the world happening, maybe in technology, maybe in...
Do you have the time?
Yeah.
To listen?
Of course. Of course.
Families think differently. I know with my son, Richard, he's a trumper. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about that. We talk about everything else because he knows how I feel. Mm-hmm. And I cannot understand how he could feel that way.
Absolutely.
I think he thinks I'm pretty stupid too. Mm-hmm. But his father came from Germany. Mm-hmm. He was a refugee. Mm-hmm. I can't understand it. So we don't talk about it.
Yeah, I've had that.
The other son, uh-huh. He's like the rest of us. Uh-huh. I don't know. I don't know what your leanings are.
Yeah, of course.
But
I'm not a big fan either. I've always been very neutral with my political positions, you know, just to avoid problems like that.
Well, that's what you have to do.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And I found that a lot of people this past election have lost so many friendships over political topics. So on Facebook, I'm not sure if you're familiar.
I'm on Facebook.
You're on Facebook, okay, wonderful. So some people would post, you know, if you're supporting Trump, unfriend me.
I've seen it.
And I think that's crazy because, you know, I respect people for their character and...
It's supposed to be a democracy.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. And that's what comes.
They say and you say and everybody says something different.
Exactly, exactly.
I get such things you wouldn't believe.
Really?
But I don't unfriend them.
Yeah, no, of course. They're...
I don't have to read it.
Of course, you just ignore it, right?
That's right.
So what else have you seen in terms of changes in... maybe technology, maybe in...
technology, yeah. Definitely.
What's the biggest surprise to you? You know, a moment that you've been like, wow, times have changed.
The smartphone.
Really?
I don't have one.
You don't have one? Would you like to have one?
I have a very simple one.
Uh-huh. I think that's the way we should all be, really.
But I have a computer and I have a pad. I don't have an iPad, I have Amazon.
Okay, the little Amazon pad. That's nice. Yeah, because nowadays... My generation is, you know, we're kind of lab rats to this.
Oh, I know. It's the most amazing thing.
Yeah, to this.
I think they were born knowing.
Exactly. Exactly.
I always remember my grandson in Lexington, Kentucky, when we were there, and he was little. Maybe he was about 5. Uh-huh. He used to sit in a chair in the basement, the television. He had Family Feud on, and he played with his foot.
Really? Yeah. Yeah, I'm saying like we...
I would probably get more out of it if I had a smartphone.
You think so?
Probably. Mm-hmm. You know, this way, they have to put it on Facebook, and you can do Facebook on your phone.
Mm-hmm. But I'm seeing nowadays, like, some lunches I go to with friends or dinners that I go to, people, I think, are devaluing the meaning and the value of human interaction. Oh. You know what I mean?
Well, that's what happened. Mm-hmm. In other words, people don't talk on the telephone really anymore.
No, absolutely.
They text. That's one thing I don't do.
You don't do any texting?
I could do it, but I don't want to.
I don't like it either. I don't like it either because... but even, you know, in physical human situations, people would rather be on their phones than to... look at one another in the eyes.
Come on, they go. You get these jokes about going to grandma's house and everybody's.
Yeah, exactly, on their phones. And what about like interactions between people? What has changed socially?
Socially?
Yeah.
They don't talk.
Yeah.
Socially, I mean, it was very different mm-hmm. in my day, but my day is gone.
You're still here. You're still. Like,
I'm still here. But I don't think after me, mm-hmm. it won't be like we usually are here.
Okay.
If you know what you're doing.
No, absolutely. Do you have any books that you've read in your life that have made an impact on you? One of your favorite books, maybe?
Gone with the Wind,
okay.
Yeah.
I heard it's a good book.
I could think of a lot.
Yeah?
That's how I read.
Yeah?
On the...
You read on the tablet?
Definitely, because I can't see.
Really?
So I can't read a book anymore. I've been doing it. My daughter once gave me just, you know, to read.
Uh-huh.
And then my niece bought me the tablet.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you don't have to do that. I could have bought it myself.
Yeah, yeah.
I want them to know, everybody to know that somebody in your family gave you something.
Absolutely, absolutely. I tried reading on tablets, but I can't throw away like the feeling of having a book in my hand, you know?
My son was that way, but
yeah.
His wife bought him, you know.
The tablet?
Right.
What do you think the future is going to be like? You know, I think that you've seen a lot of change, and where do you think that change is going?
Very fast.
It's fast.
Very fast.
So what do you imagine the world to be like 20 years from now, 50 years from now?
Like they had at the fair, the world of tomorrow.
Yeah? And did the fair's predictions come true?
Absolutely.
What do they have there? What do they show that you later saw in real life?
Well, they had like metro rails and different things
really?
Like that. Yeah.
And that was before the metro rails existed. And they came true. That's incredible.
Right, right.
We have, there's this new car company called Tesla.
Oh, I know about
You know about that? And they're creating these really cool electric cars. And now they're planning to make a underground highway around the country for these electric cars. And you don't have to fuel. You don't have to refuel. It's just all powered by itself.
But underground, what would you see? Nothing.
Nothing. But you'd get around faster.
What's the hurry?
Yeah, that's true.
I think that's what it is. Everybody's always in a hurry.
Always in a hurry. And that's true nowadays, you know. People are on their phones walking along. You know, they're not even seeing anything.
Can I tell you should see them here?
Here, they're like,
oh, my God. Do you think they're talking to themselves?
Really?
But it's like a constant thing.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm saying. It's too much, but it's going to be that way.
Yeah, it's going to be that way. I mean, I like to keep my
your children or your children's children,
uh-huh.
It'll be very, very different.
It will. I imagine it will be. Things are changing. You know, the past 10 years is when this was introduced. You know, the first smartphone that changed the game. The iPhone was 10 years ago. And
they improve on it each time.
Each time.
And everybody buys one.
Exactly. And then this competition between companies, you know, fosters a quicker desire to make better technology. And then, you know, it just... But
you got Alexa.
Of course.
In fact, the phone I have, mm-hmm. I can call them up. I could have... They have like Uber.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Same thing.
Okay, wow, that's cool.
Because that's the thing, if you don't have a smartphone, mm-hmm. you can't have that.
That's my worry as well.
Because I've never seen anything. My daughter was here. Mm-hmm. She called them. They were there in 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It's incredible.
It really
okay.
is.
Those are incredible things.
Mm-hmm. Have you ever read the book 1984? Or how you been
no, I know of it, but
you
I never...
In the book, it's pretty much talking about... or like Brave New World. Have you heard of that one? They're talking about where technology goes too far. You know, and it's kind of worrying now that to see all these changes happening and that one day it might be...
Well... You have the progress, and you cannot stop it.
No, of course, of course. So I'm gonna get back to your life and ask you of your first date. What was your first date like?
I really can't remember my first date. Well, I know what we did on dates. We'd go to the shop where they had sodas, the soda shop.
Yeah.
And we dance in there.
Really?
Yeah.
And so there was like a dance floor. Or did you
know dance floor? You made your own dance
really?
Floor and they let you do it.
Really?
Everybody bought sodas.
I have this question that I've always been thinking about. Does soda taste any different today than it did in the past? Or is it the same, like a Coke?
Well, the ice cream here tastes differently than what I've had in the past.
Was it better in the past?
Or the same? No, I found something that's good.
Okay.
Chocolate fudge.
Chocolate fudge, yeah, I love it. Have you ever been to Cold Stone? Oh, it's so good. You tell them what you want, and then you have like toppings, and they'll open the ice cream in front of you.
I've seen it on I've seen it on Facebook.
Yeah, and they cut it up and
I mean it's like a giant thing.
Yeah, it's a giant thing, and then you have your ice cream. It's marvelous. It's making me crave some right now, actually. So do you have any closing words to tell anyone that's listening right now?
I've had a pretty good life.
Yeah?
And I came here thinking that it was going to be another part of my life.
Uh-huh.
I have reservations now.
Yeah?
No, but I'm doing fine.
That's good. And do you like it here?
As far as... Sometimes I do. Because Evelyn and I take the walkers away from the people and line it up all the way outside. And some of them are very difficult.
Really?
We have a system to put wheelchairs and scooters on the back. And we have a lot of trouble with people.
And so is that the times that you don't like it here?
Yeah, that's when I don't like it here.
And then
it's like, so if you go to higher ups, they tell you yes, and they don't do anything about it. Because what can you do about people that have dementia?
Yeah, that's true. And
even the woman you interviewed now, the hat lady.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't she interesting?
Yeah, yeah.
She has a hat, different hat, every single day.
Really? She was telling me that she has someone that makes her hats.
I saw her going out with it. So I said, are you moving? She said, no, I'm getting new ones.
Wow.
The person takes it away and brings in new ones.
Really? That's incredible. And have you ever...
Well, see, that's good.
Yeah.
Because we have something to talk about.
Absolutely.
And something to look at the next day and the day after.
Of course. And do you ever go out from here?
They go out sometimes once a month for dinner. I used to do it, but...
So you stay here all the time?
Oh, no. I have people come. I go places.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
And do you...
I go shopping.
Where do you like to shop? Around here.
Well, we can. I go to Walmart.
Yeah? Okay, of course.
But I got to sign out because I'm going to go the next day to Publix and the dollar store.
Oh, that's a wonderful place. It's a glorious land. Alibaba's cave in there.
It's too hot out.
Yeah, of course. That's true. It's hard to go anywhere.
I mean, like you have cabin fever in the winter up north.
Yeah.
I have cabin fever in
down here, yeah. No, I tell everyone, you know, you can, when it's cold on, you can just put on layers of clothing.
Yeah, well, see, I like the cool.
Yeah, me too.
But here, then, they get very cold. I'm waiting.
Yeah.
Maybe when I'm 93.
You go.
No, I'm going to be 92.
Okay. Will you go back north? Do you plan to, ever?
I don't travel anymore.
You don't travel anymore?
No, because they have to have... I need a grab bar in the bathroom.
Okay.
And it's not convenient, and I'm very comfortable.
You're very comfortable here.
Yes, because you have everything you want. I love my apartment.
Absolutely.
That's why I came here.
Have you made good friends here at all?
Yes. Yeah. And that's the sad part.
Yeah? How come?
Because they leave you.
They leave.
Not by choice.
Uh-huh.
Some of them by choice.
Mm-hmm.
And you have friendships.
Mm-hmm. And was there anyone that you met here that told you anything insightful that changed your perspective on life, or?
Not really.
Not really?
No, no. We all feel the same way.
Yeah, you all feel the same way, so that's a collective.
More or less.
More or less.
Did you get Annette?
Annette?
Yes.
No, I don't think so.
Oh. Annette Kay.
No, I don't think so.
Because she could talk.
Really? All right. Well, thank you very, very much, Lee. I really appreciate your time.
Oh, you made my day. It's all right.
Oh, you too.
Something different.
Wonderful. I'm so happy that now we got to talk. And bye to everyone listening. Thank you very much for listening. And bye-bye. All righty. Thank you so much.